It won't hurt to make sure they're snug in their beds.
Ryan lit a small candle on the nightstand and hurriedly dressed in the flickering light. Christy sat up, watching him. He carefully strapped his holster to his leg.
You sure you don't want me to come?
No need. Not yet. Let me see if anything's going on first. Keep the door locked.
Don't worry. Door will be locked and I'll keep a blaster in my hand. Ugh. No way I'm going back to sleep now.
Christy rolled out of bed and started to rummage around for her own clothing. She pulled on her pants and a shirt as Ryan came closer. He leaned over and gave her a quick kiss before walking over, opening the door and stepping out into the dingy hotel hallway. He closed the door behind him. Ryan nodded to himself after the bolt slid home, then turned left, striding down to the end room that Doc was sharing with Dean and Jack. No answer came.
Damn it.
Ryan headed for the hotel lobby and admitting desk. He knew where he was going to search next. When Ryan entered the pub, he had no trouble spotting his quarry. Doc appeared to be staggering, stupefied drunk. He had removed his frock coat and hung it over the back of the spindly wooden chair he was slumped in. He had removed his frock coat and hung it over the back of the spindly wooden chair he was slumped in. His shirt sleeves were rolled up, showing his lean arms down to the elbow. Still, even in his vaporous good cheer, Ryan noticed that he hadn't let his sword stick go far from within quick reach, and the snap on the holster of the unwieldy Lamar was unsnapped for fast removal.
Doc, you look crocked.
I am, my dear Ryan Calder, I am.
Doc grinned and leaned forward, his breath a pungent mix of rye and gin, and only the bartender and the empty bottles on his shelves knew what else.
Come, sit, drink and be merry, and you will sip for free. Everybody loves a winner. I have been the recipient of free bourbon all the night through, thanks to our proud association. They have been playing a vid tape over and over on the pub's television of you smiting the steel dragon. You might yet have found your calling as a slayer of androids.
A waitress came over, winding her way past the other tables and pub junkies. She was dressed in a short black skirt of faux leather, near-sheer white hose, green shirt, and matching green and white neckerchief. The subdued lighting in the pub helped shave years off her features and contribute to the illusion of a 30-year-old temptress hoping for a tip. She regarded Ryan with this intent.
Nice, eye patch. What are you drinking?
Nothing.
Uh-oh. Gotta drink something, mister. This ain't
Give me a beer, then. Bring the whole fucking pitcher.
I'll simmer down, Patch. Usually people don't turn into raging assholes until after they've tasted the brew.
The waitress stomped off, deftly dodging one drunk man's attempt at grabbing her ass. Doc patted Ryan on the arm consolingly and tried to hand him a shot glass with a thin coating of amber fluid in the bottom.
She'll be back. Here, drink up.
Maybe later, Doc. Look, snap up for a second. Did Dean or Jack tell you where that vid arcade was supposed to be?
No, Ryan. They kept their destination private. Children. What is one to do with the wee ones? I remember my own pair of imps. How rosy their cheeks would glow whenever they stumbled into some new mischief. Oh, how my dear Emily would shout whenever Rachel and my precious sweet little Jolyon would get into the kitchen cupboards.
Doc, we don't have time for the trip down memory lane. Shake off the booze. We're gonna have to go and find Dean and Jack. They'd never be out this late without good reason.
You and I are both out in the early hours of the morning, Ryan. But I would give anything to be home in my own little wooden bed with the pillows Emily made herself and stuffed with goose feathers, my hand crooked in the hollow of her waist, listening to the soft sounds of her snoring.
Tears started to fall down Doc's lined cheeks. He pulled out an extremely worn handkerchief and dabbed at the moisture.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I get a few sips of alcohol and I grow unbearably melancholy. How sad. Nobody buys drinks for a sloppy drunk.
I know, Doc, but I'm trying to deal with the here and now. If you want, I'll leave you behind while I go round up J.B., Mildred, and Christy. If we split up, we should be able to track them down, whether they're still in the Vidarkade or not. We can go down to that directory list and find the place on the mall map.
Doc rested his head on the tacky surface of the table as the waitress returned with the requested pitcher of beer and an empty glass mug. She raised a brow at Ryan.
You want me to pour?
No, thanks. Sorry I bit your head off earlier.
Ryan dug out a wad of the mall currency from when he made the exchange at the Bank of Freedom. He pressed two of the higher denomination bills into her waiting hand.
Mister, you keep tipping this good and you can bite off whatever you like.
As she turned away, Ryan looked out past her and spotted twin men dressed in the forest green of mall security as they stepped into the dimly lit bar. Ryan couldn't quite make out their faces in the gauze-like texture of the air, which hung heavy with a mix of cheap cigarette and marijuana smoke. The sec men could be off duty, but Ryan doubted it. Something about their demeanor indicated that they were alert, on the job, and looking for an unlucky mall visitor or resident. They paused at the head of the long bar. The bartender shrugged and pointed at the small table in the rear where Ryan and Doc were sitting. The sec men turned and started making their way back at a deliberately measured pace.
Fire blast.
What, pray tell, has happened now?
Doc had his head still on the sticky tabletop and nestled in the crook of his elbow, with his back to the bar. He couldn't have seen the new arrivals. Ryan was surprised when his drinking companion had spoken. He thought that Doc had finally passed out from the limpness of his body and the slowed breathing pattern he entered into after consuming the contents of his final glass of whiskey. Now Doc's eyes were half open and staring at him, struggling to raise themselves from the alcoholic mire. Even in the midst of tying one on, Doc had caught the hint of anxiety in Ryan's tone.
Company, Doc. Two Freedom Sec men. One of them is that Rollins guy we met outside. Keep still. I'll give you a signal in case there's trouble. They won't be expecting anything from an old drunk.
Doc winked in reply before closing his eyes and letting his upper body ooze into a pose of slack drunkenness once more. Once the men got closer, Ryan could see that there was a wide age difference between the two. Off his horse, Rollins was as tall as Ryan, with a similar posture and build. But that's where the similarities ended. The sec leader was bald, but had compensated for the lack of hair on his scalp by growing a wide mustache. He carried a huge gun cradled in his arms, held in a non-threatening fashion, but still within easy reach and use. The backup was a young punk that looked about 20, but with a much larger frame than the leader's. And that was saying something, since Rollins wasn't exactly tiny. This man's hair color was hidden under a riot helmet. His eyes were behind a pair of polarized sunglasses. A tough guy. Rollins gave Ryan a measured look.
Evening, Carter.
Ryan turned to fully face him, while trying to keep Rollins' associate framed in his peripheral vision. The younger of the two had apparently received some training, because he was using Ryan's eye patch as a blindside.
You're up late tonight, Rollins.
A sec man never sleeps.
Who's the kid? He hanging out with you for extra credit in sec man school, or what?
It's a young man's world, Carter.
Isn't that the damn truth? Well, unless you and your sidekick are here to apologize for those clowns who tried to jump me and my friends yesterday out on the road, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave. You owe me a night's peace for my generosity.
Not tonight, I don't. We got your boy, Carter.
On those words, Ryan forgot the pretense of playing it cool. A hot flush of blood ran into his face and brain, feeding the impulse to kill Rollins right on the spot. Ryan was on his feet and over in the man's face in an instant, his panga drawn up and out of the oiled sheath. As Ryan moved, so did Doc, who spun with his sword stick and placed the shining blade right up against the crotch of the second mall security guard.
No, son.
Doc was rock steady, all pretense of snoozing off a drunk now lost to adrenaline and concern for Dean.
Keep your hands up toward heaven and your blood pressure down toward hell. And maybe, just perhaps, I won't have to flick my wrist and turn you into a eunuch.
A what?
An unfortunate who has faced the blade and had his scrotum removed, complete with contents.
Doc twisted the sword stick ever so slightly and increased the pressure.
Both contents.
Rollins' eyes bugged as he felt the knife at his throat. Sweat popped out in tiny crystal beads on his forehead.
Are you insane, Carter?
When it comes to my boy, you're damn right. I'm a fucking loon. Now elaborate. What do you mean by got?
Exactly what I said. He's in lockup, along with the albino. They're printing and booking them both into the wings, even as we speak. And I suggest you put the blade down before you cut yourself.
I'd be more worried about me cutting you a new asshole. What are you talking about, booking him in the wings?
Cop jargon. Means he's being processed and arrested. For our files. We like tracking repeat offenders. Get into too much trouble and you're no longer welcome in freedom. He and his pasty white pal nearly blew the vid arcade apart in a knife fight that went bad. One customer is dead, another one wounded, and the owner is furious.
Ryan reined himself in and took the knife away, stepping back and keeping his distance from Rollins.
Is Dean all right?
Rollins felt at his throat to be sure he wasn't cut and shot an angry glare at Ryan.
He's a damn sight better than the boy he helped chill.
Listen, my boy chill somebody, you can be damn sure they were asking for it. And asking for it on bended knee. He's not a cold heart, and neither is Jack Lauren.
Whatever. We don't really give a shit about this stiff. He was one of the repeat offenders I was telling you about earlier. Problem child, but his father had the jack to keep buying his way back into freedom. Now he can use it to bury the boy's worthless ass. Way I look at it, your kid did us a service. One less scumbag cluttering up the mall.
I'm glad for you my son's entered a teenage crime wave. Really. When are you two guardians of freedom gonna take me to him?
All in good time. First, tell your drinking buddy to let my sec man keep his nutsack.
Ease off, Doc.
Doc nodded and straightened up, sheathing his deadly blade back into the ebony cane.
See, young man? Safe to procreate another day.
What else, Rollins?
You have to make a detour. Morgan wants to see you before you can speak to your boy or Lauren.
What's your baron want with me?
He's not a baron, told you that before. He just wants to talk, to deal, to offer. Yeah. If you impress Morgan, all this stink might blow up and blow over like a bad dream.
Ryan sent Doc into the Freedom Center complex to tell Christy, JB, and Mildred about Dean and Jack, then walked with the two sec men to a boarded over mall front. An old sign overhead identified the site as a former Spencer's Gifts. A single door with a sec keypad and a card slot was recessed into the solid front. Rollins slid an ID card into the slot, then punched in a quick 7-digit code.
Go straight down the hallway until it ends, then go right. You'll pass a few doors on the trip. Don't bother trying them, they're locked. They're just back doors into some of the other mall stores anyway. Now keep going until you come into a glassed-in waiting area. A guard will be waiting for you. He's got your description. Tell him you're Carter and he'll send you through.
You're not coming? Surprised you'll let me in to see Morgan alone.
Frankly, Carter, I've got better things to do. This mall doesn't police itself. Besides, Morgan can take care of himself.
When do I get to see Dean?
Haven't you been paying attention? You can talk with the boy after you've spoken with the boss.
As Rollins turned to walk away, Ryan grabbed him by the upper bicep. The big man whirled and knocked off Ryan's grip.
I'm getting damn tired of you two laying hands on me. Do it again, and they'll be hosing you up off the floor. Pit champion or no pit champion.
I just wanted you to know that if anything happens to Dean or to Jack, I'll cut your heart out.
I see the boy comes by chilling honestly. Both of them are fine. Hell, after what they've been up to tonight, I'm glad they're both locked away to protect innocent mall citizens from their reign of terror.
Good. Then I won't be taking you on. At least not yet. I just want to know what kind of a man this Morgan is.
What do you mean?
Most places I've been in like this, the man behind the curtain is usually crazy. Power goes to their minds and rots their brain from within, like some kind of rad sickness. They start thinking they're a god or some other higher power, barking out orders to yes-men like you, reveling in their twisted fantasies as long as they're backed up by a blaster in their own private army.
Then you're in luck, Carter. Morgan is probably the most rational man I ever met. His private army is busy watching over his domain, not over his own ass. Why he wants to talk with a loser outlander like yourself is beyond me.
You shooting straight?
Why wouldn't I be? After you wrap up with Morgan, get the boss to send you down to the wings and you can talk to your boy.
Ryan watched Rollins stride away. He wasn't thrilled with having to walk into a discussion with the mall's baron alone, but the way the cards had been dealt so far, he didn't have much of a choice. He walked carefully down the long hallway, following the directions Rollins had given to him. Just for the hell of it, he tried a few of the doorknobs belonging to the numerous doors he was passing at regular intervals, but all of them were locked, as Rollins had said they would be. A few bullets from the Sig Sauer would solve that problem, but the muffled sound would carry, and what would be the point anyway? The glassed-in area outside Morgan's office